everyone, that it may be for you specifically. I heard for such a time as this, and suddenly my mind went to the concept about how sound travels in the universe, that, you know, when you make a sound here, it takes, I don't know how many, you know, light years or whatever it is to reach out that way, and that there is this sound made, but the actual resonation of that sound is in the far distant future. The Lord said about that word that he's reversing that today, that he spoke a word, an ancient word, and it's been coming to us since he spoke it. And today is the day when that word is going to resonate in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
For such a time as this, that word which was spoken by the Ancient of Days is coming home today.
Yes.
Give ear to that word.
It's so amazing. Holy Spirit is so amazing. Everything that was said and done from the day minute I walked through that door, the Holy Spirit, yesterday all day long, I just kind of like sat in the house. I just began to talk to God. It's every song, everything, every word, everything that has been spoken this morning, yesterday I experienced it. It was so this morning when I woke up early, and I just woke up singing. I just woke up singing. And when I was singing, like me, I got here quicker than I usually do. But anyway, listen, the Holy Spirit, he's not coming. We wait, oh, Lord, we're just waiting for you to come. He's already here. He's waiting for us to come to him, to make that step toward him. And guess what? It's like this. Come over here. The table is spread, and the feast of the Lord is already going on. Oh, but I'll wait. You know, it's no insult or nothing like this. Sometimes we be thinking like, well, Lord, when I get to heaven, I won't have to go through no more of this stuff. But guess what? You're drinking from a fountain of life now.
That's right.
And your things that you're going through, the troubles and things that we call it trouble, but God calls it blessings. You are in another place. It is not going to be the same. And why? He tell me this all the time. You're crying for what? What are you crying for? It's time to praise. It's time to worship. We cry, and I'm talking about me, but something happened. Can I say this? Something happened to me in the last, about a couple of weeks ago. And my eyes, for the first time, was open, and I'm beginning to see. And when I'm beginning to see, the Holy Spirit let me know, you already have what you're still trying to get. And so many, it would take me forever to tell the whole story. I won't. But anyway.
Amen, Mama Grace. Amen. Hey, Deacon Robert.
So I have a few words. Father Mark, for quite a while, has been asking us to consider what it means when the bishop said for the reset button and what revival looks like here. And part of my journeys through this summer took me to a place where there were folks that were wearing T-shirts that said, revival is family. And I've been praying about that and what that looks like and what that means for us here. And yesterday I was reading in a book, and these are the words that I think kind of go along with what Father Don is saying, is before the world was created, the Lord had things set. It says, throughout the entire journey of life, in our entire journey of life in this age, we are each coming into that which we have been in his heart for all eternity and living in the full measure of that reality. He created each one of us in his likeness, that in every life, in each one of our lives, he might be further revealed. Now, he arranges our pasts and governs our present and future circumstances in order to bring us into the fullness. Each of our hearts is a window into our beloved Jesus himself. Without each one of us carrying what he created us individually to be, we would not know the Father in his fullness. because each one of us is created to carry that little bit. And the picture he gave me is like a stained glass window. There are multiple broken pieces of glass that come in different shapes, sizes, and colors that are all fitted together to make that complete picture. And without each one of us, that picture would be incomplete. So I then asked the Lord, well, what does that mean for us? And I started thinking about each person, and there are different people's faces that came to mind. So these are the individual words. Billy, this word is for you. He said, you are a steadfast friend, loyal, faithful, and constant. When I share these words, these are glimpses of the Lord's character that he's poured out into each one of us, that we see in each other and we learn about. Lynn, the word for you is tender, showing gentleness and concern, caring, kind, soft-hearted, and compassionate. Veronica, the word for you is glad-hearted, pleasing, joyful, and willing. And there are some folks that aren't here, so I won't share theirs. Carmel, delight. You please him greatly. You captivate his heart. Robert, you are bold, confident, courageous, intrepid, assured, and adventurous.
Let us take heed to the readings of the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
My very, very good friend. This is Bishop Hannington. Some of you have seen him and heard him before. Those of you who have not, he has been a friend of our church for a long, long time. And this church has been connected to this dear bishop for many, many, many years, and hopefully for many years to come. And I believe that the Lord has sent him here to us today. As I said, give attention to the word that our dear friend is about to give us. Thank you, Bishop.
Thank you very much. Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
As Father Don has said, I'm really privileged to be here, and I'm honored to give the word of the Lord to you and to myself this morning. I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I bring greetings to you from Uganda, my church, my wife and family. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I've been blessed to be here, and Father Don and his wife have really looked after me very well. I got an email from my daughter. She said, "You are looking good already." I said, that's the work of Eden and done. Praise God. In my time here, I've been delighted to see many things. I've been to the Vulcan. I've been to the zoo. I've been to the bush to shoot guns. Yesterday, I shot my first bullet in my life. And on Wednesday, I was blessed to go with Rick. He took me to a camp. Is it a camp, Rick?
Park.
A park, yes. We went to a park and we walked through the woods and we came down to his house, and in the car we had a lot of conversations. But in one of the conversations, hey, excuse me, first of all, I had asked to speak for 3 hours, please. But Eden this morning warned me. She has a song on her phone of a preacher who went on and on and on and on until the congregation started making a prayer that God would do a miracle. So she warned me, I will not do that. I will not do it in 3 hours. So in the conversation with Rick, he said in his walk with the Lord, he has been obliged to read the Word of God with intention from the beginning of the Bible to the end. And in my 15 years of translating the Bible into our language, I have been also forced to look at almost every verse of the Bible. But whoever has read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, I think will come up with one thing. There is a thread that comes right from Genesis to Revelation. Those of you who have read it, even if you've read it midway, wherever you will start, the Holy Spirit will lead you to see this thread. I don't know what color it is, but that color is appealing, appealing enough for you to see the thread that runs through the Bible. And if God was to summarize it for you, he would tell you what that is. And today, one day, Archbishop Jones told us that whenever you go to preach, whenever you're preparing to speak the word of God, when God gives you a message, he is going to give you 1, 2, or 3 confirmations. 1, if you are quick to hear. 2, if you don't hear the first thing. And 3, if you are dull to hear. And indeed, this is what God has done with me. I think he has spoken to me 3 times, making the confirmation that this is the word I want you to share with my people. The thread that runs through the Bible. And I was with Eden in the car in their city there, in their town. There is a bank here and there is a store here. Eden could know that address. When I looked at the shop, at the store, I saw a word there. And the word appeared to be in my sermon. I said, Lord, this is your confirmation that that is the message I should carry to your people. Even today here, Father Don stands up and says, there is a word, an ancient word that God spoke from the beginning. And he is speaking it. And it is even coming back to us. I said, God, is that the word you've told me to speak to your people? I fully believe that that is the word he has told me to speak to you. Amen? Amen. And in the songs preceding the sermon, I've heard the song which says, speak to me, I'm listening. And that's what I've been asking God, that God, when I speak, may your people listen. May your people hear what you are saying to them. Because I have a problem when I speak here in America and ask, if I were to ask you outside there and say, how much of what I said did you hear? Most of you would tell me 5%. So I walk on that risk of speaking to people who are hearing only 5% because of how I speak. I ask God to take control of even the language, the words, the vocabulary, the grammar, and whatever. Amen? So pray with me as I bring the word of God. The word of God, which I've been given to speak to you, is to tell you that God is good. Do you believe so? God is good. And I believe he has said that over and over. He said that through the prophets. He gave that message to Jesus to come and deliver to us and show us that God is what? That God is good. And in Uganda, we say God is good, and people say all the time. And when we say all the time, God is good. And they say that is what? That is his nature. Hallelujah. So reading the Bible from Genesis up to the end, you are going to discover one thing, that God is good. After everything, after all history, we shall discover one thing, that God has been good, and that God is good. So my hypothesis this morning is in that good news, that God's goodness is for our good. Amen? The good news in the sermon I'm giving in the word I'm saying, I'm sharing, is that God's goodness is all about our good. God is good because he wants it to be good with you. Amen. Amen. And God's goodness is the basis for our faith. If God was not good, we would have no reason to have faith in him. And it would be vanity to have faith in him. And God's goodness is the source of our life. If God was not good, we would not be having the life that we have. And because of that, God's goodness is the reason for our hope. Is there anyone with hope in God here? Yes. Hallelujah. I'm speaking to the real congregation that God sent me to. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation, through the prophets, through the message of Jesus, and through whoever has ever spoken for God, will always show that God is good. God is good in essence. God is essentially good. In Uganda, we are beginning to build with bricks or blocks. And when I look at that, it gives me a picture. When we look at a house which is built with bricks, we say it is a brick house because it is brick in essence. And I think the blocks that make up God, if you got out one, you'd find that God is good. Each brick that makes up what, I'm sorry to say, God is made up. I don't know that theology then. But whatever makes up God is what? Good. Is good. Two, God is good in his character. And three, God is good in his actions. Ay, 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 ay. And the character of God, because he intends his goodness to be good for us, he gives us, shall I call them laws? Shall I call them commandments? Shall I call them warnings? Even in today's reading, in the book, in the letter of to the Colossians, I think you must have heard, in chapter 3, which we read, I think we read from chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. And in midway there, come on, Paul was saying, keep away from these things. What was he saying? He was echoing what God always says to us. God always gives us his law to keep us from what will harm us. He said malice, he said envy, he said covetousness, he said this. So God is good because he gives us his commandments to keep away from, to keep us away from what would harm us. When God says you should not smoke, he's keeping your lungs clean. When God says you should not be indulged in alcohol, he's keeping your heart healthy. When God says keep away from illicit sex, he's keeping you away from bringing up babies whom you cannot take care of. So that way God becomes good to us in his character and also becomes good to us in his actions. Observation shows that God's goodness is outrageous. I wish I could write a dictionary. I would pick out words and say, and those that point to God's goodness. I think in those words, I would find one that shows that God's love is outrageous. It respects no laws. It has no boundaries. It comes to anyone. It is no respect of persons. It does for people what would not be expected. It is an undeserved kindness, and it is lavish, and it is benevolent, and it is happy chance. That's what people would think. When God exercises his goodness on you, some people who don't know him and his character will think it is a happy chance. How many of you have ever experienced a happy chance? Something happens to you and you just can't imagine where it has come from. And some people would think God's goodness is good luck. And others would think it is fortuity. Is that how you pronounce it? Fortuity. Yeah. I need an interpreter. I need someone to translate for me. And sometimes it can be coincidence. Have you ever met with the goodness of God and it happens to be a coincidence? Yes, that's how God's goodness is. And some people would call it providence. That store where I told you, in Vestavia, that store which I saw a writing on it. It said, Serendipity Sweets. How many of you have ever seen that? Who has driven that way and seen that store? Serendipity Sweets. I wanted to ask Aden to let me come out of the car and go there. What would I find if I went there? What do you think I would find if I went there? I think they would give me sweets just because of their own goodness. Not so. Not because I have bought them. So that's how God demonstrates his love to us. And I said it is outrageous because not everybody can explain why he has acted the way he has acted. And Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 20 gives a story of one day how a rich man went out and he went to the marketplace and found young men idle. They had nothing to do. Said, why do you sit here and spend all these hours and burn your day without earning anything? They said, we have no one to hire us. Said, come to my... But are you getting my English? He said, come with me, come to my garden, come and get something for yourselves. If you work for me, I'm going to give you this much by the end of the day. Oh, it was a very good amount of money to be given. It was appetizing even before you begin the work. You know, there are certain things that appetize. Like, was it Wednesday, Eden? I was going to see a doctor and he was going to check everything, take blood and everything. So we agreed with Eden that I would not eat anything until the examinations of the doctor. But in the morning, Eden woke up and started making coffee. I felt the smell right from the scent from my room. I said, should I drink some coffee? I said, no, we have agreed not to take anything. So this salary that this man was going to give these young people was so appetizing and so good that they went running. They went and did the work of the day very happily. But sometime later, he came out also and found others and also sent them there and agreed on the amount he would give them. Then he went out again and brought others. And when there was remaining only 1 hour to the end of the day, he brought in others. So when they finished the work, Jesus tells the story that he called them to come and receive their salary. And I think the first line was those who came in first. And he gave them their money. And I think they received it with smiles. They were very happy. Then he goes to the second line. Then he goes to the third line. And now to the last line. Do you know what? Grumblings begin. When these ones saw that what they had received is what these ones had received. And this is, one of them said, no, master. This can't be true. We came in right from the beginning, and you give us the same amount with those who came in just an hour to the end of the day. He said, what did I promise to give you? Have I not been good enough and faithful enough to give you what I vowed to give you? Why do you complain? Am I bad? I'm good. So he was showing his goodness to these people that he is good. He can do whatever he does. Who has ever experienced that goodness of God? When he has given you more than what you deserve. That is his character, and that is his nature. One day, we had a testimony back in Uganda of a young man. He became a Christian, and he was told that if you want anything from God, You need to bind the demons. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to stamp your feet. You need to shout as much as you want. Then God is going to hear you. And he got married. And his wife became pregnant. And one day, the labor pains came. The lady was going to deliver the baby. So the lady was taken to hospital. And the girl tried to push, but the baby was not forthcoming. The boy remembered the secret, said, "Let me go to another room." He went to another room and started binding all the demons that were stopping the baby from coming. He shouted, he stamped his feet, he shouted. He came and checked, he found the lady had not yet delivered. He went back, shouted and bound more demons and bound them and bound them and bound them. Nothing was happening. Until he remembered, he said, "God, if you are to help me, it will be only out of your grace, because I've done all I can, and nothing has come out." And the baby was delivered. If God is to help us, it is only because of his grace. It is only because of his goodness. It is only because of his mercy. That is how outrageous, how unmerited God's goodness is to us. I think maybe some of you must have read or heard a story of a young man who was John, and at the age of five, he was diagnosed and found with a disease which deteriorates the functions of the body. And the doctors told him that he would die in 20 years. So he was five, and now he was remaining with 20 years. So the boy's function started deteriorating. And one day, there was a function where there was a fundraising for could have been a soccer ball, for a soccer team. And at that big fundraising, the mother of this boy was there with this boy, but the boy had already deteriorated in every function. And they started auctioning a ball. And all the players had signed on that ball. So it became very expensive. Everybody wanted to have it. And the price went up so high that the competitors became so few. And when it was that high, this boy, as a miracle, would have it, put up his hand. He wanted to mention some price. The mother put him down and said, "We cannot afford anything here." So one rich man managed to be the last person and managed to get the ball. And to the surprise of everybody, this rich man takes the ball and gives it to this boy. A boy who would never even lift it and throw it to a colleague. But this boy was given power, think by God, to write a letter, a thank you letter to this man. And he said, "I'll never be able to lift this ball, but you don't know what it is doing in my heart in gratitude to you." That is what God does. I pray that today he places a ball into your hands to make you able to express your thanks to him. That today you look around and see how many balls God has given you to be able to thank him, even things that you will never be able to use. There are times when I look at myself and say, "God, you have blessed me too much." I look at the clothes I have. I cannot put them all on. And I look at a shirt which I've used over and over, and yet I cannot give it out to someone else. And when I want to put it on, my wife says, "No, you can't put on that. It is mere thread." But yet I cannot part with it. So God has given us things that we cannot part with. There is a story of a missionary who was in India, and he had all sorts of playthings for his son. He was about 3 years. Then this three-year-old son befriended a boy, a native boy in the village. And that boy used to come and play with him. So this boy cried to his father and said he wanted to go and see that boy in their family. So the boy went there. What surprised the young boy when he came back and told his father, he said, the boy was Martin, he was named Martin, said, "Dad, Martin has no playthings." And this boy had about 200, you call them what? What do you call them? These things that children, toys, had about 200 toys in his room. And the other one did not have anything. He said, "Dad, I want to divide them and give half to him." The dad could not take it in. How do you give half of what you have to another person? But that heart the boy was expressing, I think, is the heart that God has. The heart that gives bountifully, the heart that gives without any reservation. Wow. So God's giving, God's love, God's goodness is outrageous. A young man went to, I think your time is up. Let me end with this. A young man went to college, and he was studying theology for 4 years. He met with a grandmom and said, "Grandson, what have you been learning? What is taking all these 4 years?" The boy said, "I've learned that God is good." The grandmother said, "What are you going to do with that knowledge?" He said, "I'm going to test Psalms 34 verse 8. What does it say? Psalms 34 verse 8 says, "Test the Lord and see that he is good." Amen? Test the Lord and see that he is good. So God writes a thread from the beginning up to the end, and he crowns it with this sentence and says, "Test ye the Lord and see that he is good." And I want to tell you this morning that whoever has tested the Lord has found that God is what?
Good.
That God is good. It's my prayer that God makes his goodness vivid to you. And God is good because how do we see that God is good? We see that God is good because he has wonderful plans that we don't know. He has plans for you. He declares in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that he has plans for you. And these plans are to make you good. These plans are for your good. The plans, the ancient plans that he had before the world was made, before you came into existence, all of these plans that he would meet with you, he planned them because he is good and he wanted you to know that he is good. How else do we see that God is good? We see that God is good in Psalm 145, verse 15. It says that all eyes look to God and he satisfies them. He provides their needs. He gives them food in their due time. Why? Because God wants to show us that he is good. And above all, he gave us Jesus Christ to express his goodness. His total goodness to us is expressed in the coming of Jesus Christ. And no wonder, John could not forget this. He put it in John 3, verse 16, and said, "For God so loved the world." I think that word there was saying that God was so good to the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Isn't that goodness? Isn't that goodness? What do you understand John 3:16 to be? It just explains and spells out God's goodness. Because when God was sending Jesus to us, I think it was like a package. It was like a package. We have a friend in Arizona. She's a friend to my daughter. And she said, when I'm here, she wanted to send something for my daughter. And yesterday, Dawn showed me a package which was from her to my daughter. And I said, I will open. You know, in Africa, for us, we don't open gifts. But for you, I've seen whenever a white person is given a gift, there and then that person opens. So I opened to see. I saw it was a package because it was, what do I say in English? It was a conglomeration of all things. Very many things put there. So in the same way when God gave us Jesus Christ, he was giving us forgiveness. Hallelujah. When God gave us Jesus, he was giving us our salvation. Amen? When God gave us Jesus, he was giving us our deliverance. When God gave us Jesus, he was giving us our healing. When God gave us Jesus, he was giving us our protection. When God gave us Jesus, he was giving us our provision in every way. Hallelujah. How are you? That is the package that God packed together to show us. And when the concluding statement of Jesus Christ's mission on earth, in John 17, he simply said, God, I have given them your word. What word was that? It was the word that, and they now believe that I really came from you. Because they have seen your goodness, they have seen me chase away demons, they have seen me feed thousands, they have seen me preach good news to the poor, they have seen my the compassion that I've showed you them is the very compassion that you have sent me to. Oh my goodness, I wish I had 3 hours. And the Bible concludes. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, says that in Christ Jesus, God was giving us all his promises. And those promises in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. We cannot praise God for anything more than this. Wow. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. One day, I preached about the blessings of God in Deuteronomy chapter 28. A fellow preacher came to me and warned me and said, those promises are not for Christians. Those are promises of the Old Testament to the people of God, the Jews. I said, all the promises of God from beginning to the end are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. How many believe that those promises are also for you? Yes, he said you'll be blessed in the house and in the city. How many have ever been blessed in the house and also blessed in the city? And those promises for you? When he says that his stripes were a healing for you, don't you believe that that promise is for you? When he says he'll give you, he'll fill your bowl, you will not lack, you'll eat, he'll give you good things on your table. Is that for the Jews? What if it was only for the Jews? What would we be doing today? So those promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. May I say that in Jesus you are loved. And can you say yes and amen? In Christ Jesus you are loved. In Christ Jesus you are healed. In Christ Jesus you are forgotten, you are forgiven. In Christ Jesus, you are a child of God. Yes. And when we believe that, God gives us a mission to go and show the world how good he is. That's why he said, let your light so shine in the world, so that people will see the good works that you do, that your works will show that God is good. There are people he has commissioned to go and show his goodness. And of these people, there is one category of people that God has commissioned to go and show his goodness. These are the people into whose lives he has put smiles for the purpose of putting a smile on another person's face. Who has ever put a smile on another person's face? Then you are an ambassador of God. There are people he has commissioned to be caregivers. Caregivers to those who are poor. Caregivers to those who are lonely. Caregivers to those who are lonely. To caregivers to those who are destitute. You are an ambassador and commissioned by God. There is another group of people God has commissioned. Those people, the ingenious people, those people who have made technology so good for people that I hear now these days that there is even surgery to the heart, surgery to the ear, surgery to any part of the body, and that person is able to walk again because of the technological advancement that God has given to someone. What is the purpose of that? To show people that God is good. I don't know what God has commissioned you to be. Maybe he commissioned you to be a writer. If you write a book and that book gives hope to anyone, brings strength and encouragement to another person, you have been commissioned by God to show that God is good. If you are a parent and you look after your children so well and the children one day look up and say, we are blessed to have this man or this mother as our parent, you have been a good ambassador of God. If you are a spouse and you have brought a smile on the face of your partner, oh, then you are a good ambassador. How many can say, yeah, in that one, yes, I've succeeded too. Who has ever brought a smile on the face of his wife? And which wife has ever brought a smile on the face of the husband? You have been a faithful and a good servant of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
This, you call them what? Like Bill Gates. Yes. Bill Gates is so rich, but he has given out his money so much that he has alleviated so much poverty. His heart is in the suffering of people. Climate change, hunger, poverty, medicine, whatever, education. He has sponsored those things to bring a smile to someone's face. In America, there is a conference I attended. It was for a movement which is now going everywhere. It is called Generous Givers. Have you heard of generous giving? God is going to empower that group. And I think it will be incestuous. It will reach the whole of America. It will reach all Christian countries. When people start giving like generous people, God is going to show himself up as a good God. May I ask God that this day, those of us who have heard this message, will see that thread from the Bible and really say, God is good. And see that goodness that he has and reflect upon it and see how God has been good to us. And also be considerate of the commissioning that he's giving us to show the world that God is good. May God bless you. Shall we pray? Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise your holy name for this message that you have given me to share with your children. Lord God, we've seen that there is a thread in your holy word that spells out that you are good. And we are encouraged to taste and see how good you are to us. Lord God and Heavenly Father, whoever has tasted you and seen that you are good, now our mandate is to go out and show how good you are. May your name be praised because of what we show through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.